Namah Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshacharane. May Krishna bless you all. We are starting now this fifth night of this Bhagavat Saptaha. Tonight we will hear from the ninth canto and we will begin the tenth canto. As we learned in the beginning, Bhagavatam is a manifestation of the form of Krishna. Cantos 1 and 2 are the lotus feet of Krishna. 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th works its way up. And the 10th canto is Krishna's smiling face. It is the 10th canto that the Srimad Bhagavatam is building up to. When Vyasadeva compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam, he specifically did the 10th canto in such a way that if you go through the 9 cantos, one after another systematically, by the time you get to the 10th canto, you should be self-realized and ready to understand Krishna's birth and activities. I have some sheets here. If someone wants to pass out, we only have a few. Only for those who are actually serious. So this 10th canto, you know from the Bhagavad Gita, that famous verse, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tattvataha Tyaktva Dehang Punar Janma Naiti Mameti Sorjuna. Krishna says, if you understand my birth and activities, then after giving up this body, you are going back home, back to Krishna. So that Janma Karma Chame Divyam, that's 10th canto. But Vyasadeva wants to make sure that you understand Krishna according to that Bhagavad Gita verse, tatvataha, scientifically, not whimsically. You must learn about Krishna scientifically. That's why you go through 9 cantos, so that when you get to the 10th canto, you are scientifically understanding Krishna's divyam, divine, transcendental birth and activities. So, if you're ready to proceed, please turn off your cell phones. Not just turn off the cell phones, don't look at your cell phones. Because then you're going to be distracted and you're not going to be absorbed. Because we learned from Suta Goswami, the secret to understanding Bhagavatam is rapt attention. So if you have your cell phone out, you're not going to have rapt attention. We begin, as I begin almost all my lectures, in the proper mood. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harennama harennama Hadanamai Vikivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatir Anyata. Now we will invoke the 12-syllable mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Every night I have recited to you an invocation verse. We have been hearing from Lord Chaitanya in his conversations with Prakashananda Saraswati, and he has been explaining the unique position of Srimad Bhagavatam. So please hear what Lord Chaitanya says tonight. The essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, number one, please repeat, our relationship with the Supreme Lord. Sambandha. Our activities in that connection. Abhideha. And the ultimate goal of life, Prayojana, is manifest in the four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam known as the Chatusloki. Everything is explained in those verses. So, we studied that the first night. The Chatusloki is found in Canto 2, Chapter 9, the original four verses which Lord Narayan spoke to Lord Brahma. From those four verses, we have 18,000 verses in Vyasadeva's Srimad Bhagavatam. But the original Bhagavatam, spoken by Narayan, everybody say, to Lord Brahma at the dawn of creation, was these four nutshell verses. Lord Krishna says, I am the center of all relationships. Knowledge about me and its practical application is actual knowledge, sambandha. Approaching me for devotional service is called abhideha. By rendering devotional service, one gradually rises to the platform of love of Godhead, prayojana. That's where the offering is going to be done. Hello. We're going to do did they do the offering already? It's done? Okay. Hare Krishna. By rendering devotional service, one gradually rises to the platform of love of Godhead. And that is the chief goal of life. On the platform of love of Godhead, one is eternally engaged in the service of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya continues speaking. Thus, one's relationship with the Lord, activities in devotional service, and the attainment of the highest goal of life, love of God, are the subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, please hear about the execution of devotional service. And this principle of devotional service pervades each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is an important point to remember. Srimad Bhagavatam is simply extolling the glories of devotional service. Those of us who have studied Bhagavad Gita thoroughly, we learned from Krishna at least three times. You want to see me? Devotional service. You want to know me? Devotional service. You want to return to me? Devotional service. There is no alternative. So Bhagavatam is saying in each of its verse, pure devotional service. Let us begin with this ninth canto, which Srila Prabhupada describes as liberation. In the 10 subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam, liberation is defined as muktir anyatav swarupam, being situated in your original constitutional position. according to Srila Prabhupada's understanding and what he preaches, our original constitutional position is servant of Krishna. Our original consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Please, we should understand. So liberation simply means being reinstated in our original position of service. That is liberation. Prabhupada's whole philosophy is that originally we were with Krishna and we had service to Krishna, which we have given up because we wanted to imitate Krishna as the enjoyer, and we took our birth either in India, Orange County, New York, whatever it is. But now, since we have accepted Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness movement, we are being reinstated. Similarly, I give another example. You have a driver's license, but if you do certain activities, your license can be revoked. But if you rectify yourself, your license can be reinstated. So our original license is servant of Krishna. And we're working at being reinstated. That is liberation. So in this ninth canto, there is the following stories. How King Sudyumna becomes a woman. The liberation of Prisadra. The dynasties of the sons of Manu. The story of Shayati giving his daughter to the old Chavanamuni. And how Sukanya chose Chavanamuni over the Ashwini Kumars. And how King Shayati was amazed. And how Chavanamuni paralyzed Indra. And how Kukudmi gave his daughter Revati to Lord Balaram on the advice of Lord Brahma. And then the tests of Nabag. And then the next section in the ninth canto, Ambarish defeats Durvasa. And that's my main katha for tonight. If you're ready to hear, please say, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. So first, Shukadeva Goswami describes the character of Maharaj Ambarish. And there is this famous verse which we see quoted by Prabhupada many times in his books. Savai manak Krishna padara vinayor vachansi vaikunta gunanubarnane karahare mandira marjanadishu Sruting Chakayachuta Satkato Daye Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Drishao Tadbritya Gatra Sparasheg Sangamam Granam Chatad Pada Saroja Sarabhe Srimatulasya Rasanam Tad Arpite Pada Hare Shetra Padanu Sarpane Shiro Rishikesha Padabhi Vandane Kamang Chadasye Natu Kama Kamyaya Yatota Mashloka Janasraya Rati. Please repeat. Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. His words in describing the spiritual world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His hands in cleansing and washing the Lord's temple. his ears in hearing the topics about the Supreme Lord. His eyes in seeing the deity of Lord Krishna. His body embracing the Vaishnavas or touching their lotus feet. His nostrils in smelling the aroma of tulsi leaves offered to Krishna's lotus feet. His tongue in tasting food offered to Krishna. His legs in going to places of pilgrimage, like Vrindavan and Mathura, or to the Lord's temple. His head in touching the lotus feet of the Lord and offering obeisances. And his desires in serving the Lord faithfully. In this way, Maharaj Ambarish engaged all his senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As a result, he awakened his dormant loving propensity for the Lord's service. So this last line is very significant. One of Lord Chaitanya's fundamental precepts, love of God is dormant in everyone's heart. Therefore, potentially, everyone is Krishna's devotee. Doesn't matter who they are. You've heard me say so many times in a joke, even Trump has the potential of love of God. I know it's difficult to appreciate. But according to Lord Chaitanya, everyone has dormant love of Krishna. It's just a matter of it being awakened. In my case, before coming to ISKCON, I was big demon. But because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy, his potency, his blessings, here I am today. I'm only here today because of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada even told us. He told us point blank to our faces. He said, don't think you had anything to do with this. Prabhupada said, it's because of me. Prabhupada made that clear. Us Westerners have no claim. Simply, it is the mercy of Prabhupada, and our fortune is, we took it. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, Jesus. Hare Krishna. So, we heard from last night, Prahlad told his father, how many kinds of devotional service? 9. And those of you who know my preaching, Lord Chaitanya says, which 2 are the most important? Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing, chanting. And those who know me, I have added the 10th process, Eatanam. You ate prasad, right? That is also a form of devotional service. Eatanam, my favorite. So, different devotees are given as examples of perfection. But Ambarish, we just heard, he did all the items. He did all the 9 items of devotional service. So here is the story of Durvasa Muni and this king, Maharaj Ambarish. So, Durvasa Muni is the son of Atriya Rishi. indirectly, because he prayed, he didn't know, he prayed to God, whoever God is, I want you to become my son. So the three principal gods, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, appeared and incarnated as his son. Vishnu appeared partially as Dattatreya. Brahma partially appeared as Soma. And Lord Shiva partially appeared as Durvasa Muni. So this Durvasa Muni, you all know this word Ashutosh, how Lord Shiva is equally easily pleased but easily angered. Durvasa Muni tends to favor the easily angered. If you know some of his pastimes in the Mahabharata. So this Durvasa Muni, he had heard about this Ambarish, and he was somewhat disturbed how this king was doing devotional service. So Durvasa Muni was a little, how can you say, a little jealous of Ambarish, because Ambarish, he's not a Brahman, he's not a mystic, he's just a king. So Durvasa came to see Ambarish, and Ambarish had just finished Ekadasi, and he was going to break his fast at the appropriate time on Dwadasi day. So Durvasa Muni said, I'm going to take my bath, and when I come back, then I want to be fed. So the system is that the householder cannot eat until the guest eats. So Durvasa Muni was spending a very long time taking his bath. Now, it was not a problem for Ambarish, but the time to break the fast was quickly expiring. It's a technical point that you have to break the fast under a certain window of time. But Durvasa Muni was not returning. So Ambarish, he's the king, and all pious kings, they would be advised by a council of brahmanas. That's what how good kings would govern. They would have a governing GBC body of brahmans, and they would advise the king. So Ambarish asked the brahmins, I have to break the fast, but Durvasa Muni has not returned. What to do? So the Brahmin said, ah, we have your solution. You can drink water. Because water breaks the fast and doesn't break the fast. It works both ways. From one angle of vision, drinking water breaks your fast. From another angle of vision, it's just water. He's not eating any food. So in this way, Durvasa won't be offended, and you'll be able to say you followed your fast properly. So Ambarish accepted the advice of the Brahmins. He took some water. But then Durvasa Muni returned, and he was looking. See, the thing was, Durvasa Muni had come to find some fault. He had an ulterior agenda. He was looking for some fault. Those of you who have read Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is the story of Ramachandra Puri, and he also was a fault finder. In every temple, there's some devotee like this, the fault finder. Every temple has it. They're just looking for some little mistake. Prabhu, you didn't do this. Prabhu, you didn't do... Prabhu. They themselves are full of fault, But they're very expert in finding out everybody else's fault. They keep a book. Fault finders. So even Lord Chaitanya had to deal with this scene. He was the godbrother of his spiritual master, so he had to simply accept whatever Ramachandra Puri's nonsense activities. Ramachandra Puri was the kind of guy, he would invite you to his home and make you eat. Oh, Prabhu, eat more. Come on. You're not eating. Prabhu, eat. So you felt obliged. Okay, so he would invite people, you would overeat, and then he would say, ha! I knew it! You followers of Lord Chaitanya, all you like to do is eat. That's the kind of guy, Rama. First he induces you to eat, then he criticizes you for eating. That's what I mean by fault finder. Ramachandra Puri. So Durvasa Muni had come to see Ambarish just looking for some fault. So when Durvasa Muni returned by his mystic power, he could see, you have eaten before my return? Now I am very angry with you. And so he plucked a hair and he created a demon. And this demon was going to kill Ambarish. And Ambarish was such a great pure devotee. He just stood there, folded hands, ready to accept the punishment. And this demon was there to kill Ambarish. But Lord Narayan, everybody say, he sent his Sudarshan Chakra to save Ambarish. And that Sudarshan Chakra killed the demon created by Durvasa Muni. And then the Sudarshan Chakra went to kill Durvasa. Durvasa immediately ran in fear of his life. And wherever he went, the Sudarshan Chakra, just like you've seen how sometimes there is this car chase on the TV. The car is going and the cops are chasing, right? So the Sudarshan Chakra was chasing Durvasa Muni and he was in complete anxiety. So Durvasa went to Lord Brahma, save me! Save me! Save me! Brahma said, I can't help you. Durvasa then went to Lord Shiva, who is his origin. Lord Shiva said, I can't save you. Durvasa even went to see Lord, what's his name? Narayan, everybody. And when he went to see Lord Narayan, Lord Narayan told Durvasa, Durvasa, I am not independent. I cannot save you from my Sudarshan Chakra. The only way you can be delivered from my Sudarshan Chakra is Ambarish has to forgive you because you have offended my pure devotee, and I cannot tolerate anyone who offends my devotee. Just like you parents. Tell me if I'm wrong. If anybody tried to harm your children, what would you do? Tell me. Huh? You'd kill them. You would punish them. Nobody is going to harm your children. Am I right? Am I right? No. Nope. Your children, you'll give your own life to protect. So, Lord Narayan is the same way. With his devotees, the devotees are like his children. He's not going to tolerate anyone hurting them. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.